Oh, some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. This life and gone, I'll fly away like a bird from prison bars and swoon. I'll fly away. Oh, I'll fly away. Oh, glory, I'll fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah, by and by. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a land where joy shall never end. I'll fly away. Oh, I'll fly away. Oh, glory, I'll fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah.
Southern Gospel Group sing this just recently, and they changed the words to just a few more weary days from just a few more happy days, and they had a twist on it, and that we should always be happy, happy, happy. You know, there are days when you're not happy as believers, but we still have the joy of the Lord during those times, right? We need to get that straight, that we do get tired, we do get weary, just like the songwriter wrote, but just a few more days of those, and then we'll be in glory, right? Amen. Send revival to us. We've seen what you can do, O God of wonders. Your power has no end. Things you've done before, greater measure, you will do again. 'Cause there's no prison walls you can break through, no mountain you can move, all things are possible. There's no broken body you can raise, no soul that you can save, all things are possible. The darkest night, you can light it up. You can light it up. Oh God of revival, let hope arise. Death is overcome. You already won. You're seated forever on the throne. So why should my heart fear what you've defeated? I will trust in you alone. 'Cause there's no prison walls you can break through, no matter.
move, all things are possible. There's no broken body you can raise, no soul that you can save. All things are possible. The darkest night, you can light it up. Overcome, you already won. Oh God of revival. Ooh. Ooh. God of revival. Ooh.
miracle worker, promise
are here, turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, mending every heart. I worship you.
To you, Lord, turn his face. and a thousand generations, and your family, your children, and the children, may his favor be upon you, and a thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and the children, may his presence go before you, and behind you, and beside you, all around you, within you, he is with you, he is with you. May his presence go before you, and behind you, and beside you, all around you, within you, he is with you, he is with you. In the morning, in the evening, in your coming, in your going, in your weeping, in your rejoicing, he is for you. He is for you in the morning, in the evening, in your coming, in your going, in your weeping, in rejoicing. He is for you, 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 he is for you.
Before you and behind you and beside you, all around you, within you, he is with you, he is with you. In the morning, in the evening, in your coming, in your going, in your weeping, in rejoicing, he is for you, 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 he is for you. He's for you, he's for you, he's for you.
Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for allowing us to be here and the moving of your Holy Spirit this morning during our praise and worship. What an anointed, amazing time, Lord, that you have given us in worship. Be with us now as we dig into your word. Speak to our hearts and help us to hear clearly from you. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of us like to hear the words, thank you, from someone? I think it's safe to say that we all enjoy a thank you. Now, I'm not talking about anything that puffs us up or causes a pride or ego issue. That's not what we're talking about. Just a simple thank you. Perhaps a job well done, perhaps a special gift given. Some of us, I know, are servants at heart, and servants are the kind of individuals that would do just about anything to help somebody else in some way, shape, or form. They'll go out of their way to provide for someone or do something for someone, all while trying to just be a blessing to someone else. They're not looking to get accolades or recognition. They just want to serve or help. Those that have that gift of servanthood usually aren't even looking for a thank you. Now, don't misunderstand me. They like the pat on the back as well. They like to hear those words, thank you, from time to time. But typically, they serve just out of that calling, that passionate desire to serve. And I'm not just talking about those with servants' hearts. All of us, as I mentioned at the get-go, we all enjoy having someone tell us thank you, recognizing that we've done something or we've helped in some way. A simple thank you does so much to encourage others, to edify others. It really helps build people up when something is done and appreciated. Not only do all of us enjoy a thank you or like to hear that that compliment paid to you, believe it or not, so does God Almighty. He enjoys hearing the words, thank you. He enjoys receiving praise and thanksgiving when something is done or in our prayer time. Scripture is loaded with this call of giving thanks. If you were to read through the Psalms, you would be amazed at how many times thanks and praise is given in the Psalms. Psalm 7:17, I will give thanks to the Lord because of His righteousness, and I will sing praise to the Lord Most High. Those of you that have done any studies of the names of God, that Lord Most High there is El Elyon, God Most High. Psalm 9, verse 1, I will praise You, O Lord, with all of my heart. I will tell of all of Your wonders. Psalm 35:18, I will give You thanks in the great assembly among throngs of people. I will praise You. Even in the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, be joyful always, pray continuously, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Old Testament and New Testament are like. There is a clear call to give thanks and to sing praise to God for what He has done, what He will do, everything that He is. In the scripture that we're about to read here today, it would seem that not everyone understood this idea of giving thanks or singing praise. These particular individuals can be found in Luke chapter 17. They received a gift, a pretty incredible gift. They received something that they wanted, something they desired, and then they went on their way and kind of did their own thing to a degree, without necessarily expressing appreciation. They didn't necessarily realize just how great of a gift they were given. So this morning, let's read through this miracle together. Luke 17:11-19. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourself to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." First thing we want to look at this morning and spend a little time understanding is this idea, or not this idea, this disease of leprosy that is spoken about in this scripture. And I want to take a minute to talk about it because leprosy still exists today. Now, we don't necessarily hear a whole lot about it. It's not front page news for all of us. It's not in our face, but it is still in existence today. According to the CDC, somewhere between 150 and 250 new cases of it appear every year in the United States. Now, there are roughly 2 to 3 million cases of it globally. Here in the U.S., we deal with it at a very small rate. We have the blessing of medical advancements today. And through those medical advancements, leprosy can be cured with the right treatment, with the right program put in place. Well, for most of us, leprosy is completely out of our minds and really to a degree forgotten about. It is still an issue today, and by all means was a huge issue during biblical days. To understand what it meant, what it was like during biblical times, I wanted to give us a little piece of that as well. Because while we have forgotten about it, they were in the midst of it, right? One article summed it up this way. In biblical times, people suffered from the skin disease of leprosy, and they were treated as outcasts. There was no cure then for the disease, which gradually left a person disfigured through loss of fingers, toes, and even eventually limbs. Leprosy sufferers had to leave their homes and families and live together with other sufferers on the outskirts of town. They would have to scavenge for their own food. They were forbidden to have contact with people who did not have the disease. And they were forced to ring a bell and shout unclean if anyone approached them. They could not go to the marketplace. They were forbidden to take part in worship. If anyone had a skin disease from which they were cured, which was very unlikely in the case of leprosy at the time, Jewish law stated that they could not re-enter society until they first went to the priest to be checked, and then they would receive a certificate And it would say that they were pronounced clean. So leprosy was a huge issue in biblical days. It pretty much meant you were cast out forever. If you read through the book of Leviticus, I know that's one of our favorite books to read in all of Scripture. But if you read through the book of Leviticus, it details everything about leprosy and many other things and what was required of them at what point during their lives. There was a lot involved in the disease. Let's just put it that way. It was incurable. It was contagious. It forced people to be torn from their homes, their families. They had no social interaction at all. I mean, they were forced to be exiles. They had to live in otherwise uninhabitable places so that they couldn't affect anybody else. I mean, in essence, they were in quarantine and isolation long before COVID ever existed. I mean, it was a serious issue. In Luke's written account, Jesus is traveling through an area and he's on his way to Jerusalem. And on his way, he encounters these 10 men. Now, Scripture says they stood off in a distance because they knew the law. They knew everything that was said about them and the fact that they couldn't get any closer or weren't supposed to get any closer. They cried out to him and they said, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." That particular phrase there, the way they used that word master, its meaning brought about this idea of being a chief commander. Chief commander. What they were doing is they were crying out or calling out to Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. Another one of those names or attributes of God that we've studied in the past. They were acknowledging that he was the commander of everything, including their health. They believed in Jesus. They believed completely in Jesus, that he had control over everything, including this dreaded, incurable disease. They believed that he could command it to be gone. That's why they approached him. That's why they came to him. As we read on in our text, we see that Jesus did indeed have pity on them, or in other words, he showed them mercy. And he replies to their request by saying, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." Now I want you to hang on to that phrase for just a second. He did not say to them, "You're made well, go on your way and show yourself to the priest." He did not say to them, "Start walking, and when you get halfway there, you're going to be better, and you can show yourself to the priests." Again, this idea of showing himself or showing themselves to the priests was not abnormal, was not out of the ordinary. That was part of Old Testament law, Old Testament standards. The priest is the one who had to say, "You are indeed clean." So he wasn't asking them to do anything strange or unusual, except for the fact that they weren't clean. They had not yet been made well. They had not yet been healed. He told them, "Go, show yourself to the priest." They had to move out in faith. They had to trust in what Jesus was saying to them. I liken it to Peter in the boat. Jesus said, "Well, come on out. Come see me." Peter had to take that step out of the boat. Same thing here. These lepers had to trust in what Jesus was telling them. The miracle occurred as they obeyed. as they did what they were instructed to do. And an incurable disease at the time was cured. It was gone. Scripture doesn't tell us how far they went or what distance they traveled or how much they were separated from Jesus when all of this took place. It just says that as they went on their way, one of them was healed. And one of them, one of the ten, decided they were going to return and thank Jesus for that cleansing. And they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Oh yeah, by the way, that one that decided to come back and give thanks and praise was a Samaritan. Do we remember them? Do we remember who the Samaritans were? I know this is harsh wording, but Samaritans were despised and hated by the Jewish people. They did not like them. And yet this one that came back was a Samaritan to say thank you. Now the only reason, assuming that all these lepers, except for this one, were Jewish individuals, assuming that, the only reason they would be together in the first place is because of their common illness. They all had leprosy, so they would dwell in a different area. It's interesting to think about the fact that this Samaritan was the one that came back, because this is the man who you think would be least concerned about returning to Jesus to say thank you, and yet he was the only one who did. The only one. And it's because he returned, it's because he threw himself at Jesus' feet that Jesus gave him even more. Rise and go. Your faith has made you well. There's other translations that would read, go, your faith has saved you. He had already physically been cleansed, physically been made whole and well, and at that moment, he had been cleansed spiritually. He was made whole by our Savior. The other nine may have made their way to the priest, and the priests may have declared their physical cleaning, but this one Samaritan man was declared saved by the Son of God. Which one would you rather hear? I'd much rather hear the Son of God talking to me about my salvation than worrying about what any priest had to say to me then or today. I would much rather hear the words from my Savior. Another thing to look at in this text this morning, and then we'll apply it a little bit more to ourselves. But one of the things we need to look at in this scripture, I don't want us to be confused by it. Verse 17, Jesus asks a couple of questions. Were not all ten cleansed? Where are the other nine? Please understand, Jesus knew the answer to those questions. They were rhetorical questions. He was not seeking information. It's not like he didn't know. He knew they all were cleansed. He wondered why they didn't come back. What he was doing was highlighting the one who returned to praise him. He was emphasizing the importance of that. Jesus knew they were all whole and healed because he commanded it, because he declared it. Understand, there is nothing outside of God's control or God's ability. Healing those 10 men of leprosy was nothing. He didn't break a sweat. He didn't have to work up to it. It wasn't hard for him. He spoke a couple of words and they were made completely whole. But what we need to focus in on there is what the one did. The one stopped, went back, fell at Jesus' feet, and gave him thanks and praise for what he had just received. I want you to turn that thought inward for a moment this morning. What has God done for you? Maybe over and over again, maybe day after day. What has he done for you, for us, that we have neither thanked him for nor praised him for? I bet you, honestly, if we thought about it ourselves, there's probably a whole list of stuff we could write out that we have not taken the time to thank our Savior for. Does that mean we're ungrateful? Does it mean we're unhappy? Does it mean we're discouraged? Does it mean we're upset? What does that mean when we don't take the time to thank our God for all that He has done for us? I want you to think about a couple of things this morning. Pastor Brian earlier mentioned the Monday school that we've been doing for quite some time. But this last series, Jim taught on the six miracles of Calvary. In the portion of the, there was a video segment to it, and in the portion of the video we watched last week, Johnny Erickson Tata made a comment that just amazed me. Absolutely amazed me. If you're not familiar with who Johnny is, let me give you just a very brief description, a very brief picture of who Johnny is. She lived a very active life all through her growing up years. She enjoyed riding horses, hiking, playing tennis, and swimming. But on July 30th, 1967, she dove into the Chesapeake Bay, misjudging the depth of the water. She suffered a fracture between her fourth and fifth cervical vertebrae and became a quadriplegic, paralyzed from the shoulders down. Many years of rehab, many years of working, and Johnny has some very limited use of her arms, mostly, again, in that shoulder area. But she's a quadriplegic. And she was on this video segment last week and was talking about what it's going to be like someday to meet Jesus and what she wants to be able to say to Jesus when she meets Jesus. And you know what she said? She said she wants to thank Jesus for the gift of being a quadriplegic. The lepers couldn't take the time to come back and say, "Thanks for making me well." Far too often, we struggle taking any time to thank Jesus for our daily bread or whatever else He has given us. Here sits a woman, bound to a wheelchair for most of her life. And she says when she meets Jesus, she wants to thank Him for the gift of quadriplegia. Thank Him for that gift. If that doesn't move you or speak to you, I don't know what will. I came across another example that blew my mind as I was reading this as well. This is about a man named Martin Rinkert. Martin was a German Lutheran clergyman and hymnist. He had the unpleasant experience of serving as a pastor during the 30-year war. That particular war was a conflict fought primarily in modern-day Germany and Central Europe. That's where that war took place. During this war, there were estimates of military and civilian deaths that approached the 8 million mark. Most of them from disease and starvation. It's been suggested that up to 60% of some people's population perished during this time of war. It was in this time frame that Rinkert conducted as many as 40 funerals a day. One of them, his own wife's funeral. In the midst of all this tragedy, in the midst of all this despair and agony, he wrote some of the most beautiful hymns ever, including what became his best known work, the words to the hymn, "Now Thank We All Our God," originally written in German, translated for the rest of us to understand later. Keep in mind what he was going through. Keep in mind the tragedy and the pain and the sorrow that he dealt with at this time. As I read to you the words that he wrote. "Now thank we all our God with hearts and hands and voices, who wondrous things hath done, in whom this earth rejoices, who from our mother's arms hath blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today. O may our bounteous God through all our life be near us, with ever joyful hearts and blessed peace to cheer us, and keep us in His love, and guide us day and night, and free us from all ills, protect us by His might. All praise and thanks to God, the Father now be given, the Son and Spirit blessed, who reign in highest heaven, the one eternal God, whom heaven and earth adore. For thus it was, is now, and shall ever be forevermore." Surrounded by more tragedy than most of us will ever see in a lifetime, Pastor Reinert writes this hymn of thanksgiving, being blessed, being grateful, receiving peace, trusting God. Just a few moments ago, I posed a question to you. What has God done for you over and over, day after day, that you have neither thanked Him for nor praised Him for? Are we like Pastor Martin, surrounded by tragedy, yet willing to thank God for His love and His blessings? Or are we like Johnny, in the middle of personal calamity? Are we willing to thank Him for the gift of our disabilities and our illnesses? Or are we more like the nine, who get what they want, receive their personal comforts, if you will, and then go off doing their own thing, never showing gratitude, never lifting a voice in praise? Where are we on that gratitude scale? Where are we when it comes to simply saying thank you? How much of our month or week or day is spent giving God praise, giving Him thanks for everything in life, whether we see it as good or as bad? He deserves thank you. He deserves praise. You know, it's absolutely amazing how quick we are to pray for that help, but how slow we are to show our gratitude and to stop even for a moment and simply say, thank you. Scripture tells us over and over again to have a grateful heart, to be people of thanksgiving, to sing those praises. Hebrews 13:15, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. Let me say that again. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We need to learn from the one who chose to turn around and say thank you. The one who chose to fall at Jesus' feet and give Him praise. We're not called to follow the path of the majority or to follow what most people want to go do. We're not called to be self-centered and only get and never give. We need to be the grateful one, the one that turns, runs to the Lord, drops to their knees, and thanks Him for all that He has done in our lives. Lord, we come to You this morning. And first of all, we repent, Lord. Even some of us in this very room this morning, we aren't listening. We've blown off Your words already. We've spent more time playing with our neighbor than focusing on Scripture. Lord, we don't give You what You deserve. In this case, a simple thank you. Words of praise. Joy for the very life You have given us. God, forgive us for being so self-centered. Forgive us for being such a selfish group of people. Forgive us for being like the nine who got what they wanted and just took off. God, help us to have a heart of gratitude and to be that one that comes running back to You day after day after day, dropping to our knees and thanking You for Your blessings. Lord, we sung earlier that we want revival in this land, that we want to make, we want to see things change, and we want to see the church anew again and be revived. That's never going to happen if we can't surrender wholly to You. If we can't learn to trust You and thank You and receive what You have given us, how are we ever going to see revival? How are we ever going to understand what it means to praise the God of all creation, no matter what this physical life is like? God, teach us. Renew us. Make us whole, I pray. Help us to be people that love You, people that are grateful for all that You have done for us. In Jesus' name,
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord